Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Today's the fifth day Hamas has released hostages to Israel, but the first of its truce extension in exchange for Palestinian prisoners. CBS's Matt Piper has details on that group.
The Israeli Defense Forces says the Red Cross has transferred 12 released hostages at the Rafah crossing into Egypt. It is the first transfer since the Israel-Hamas truce was extended for another 2 days. The IDF says families of those released are being notified by the military. 10 of the hostages heading home are Israeli, 2 are foreign nationals.
CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb is in Tel Aviv now and says leaders are negotiating a second extension.
It means that this agreement between Hamas and Israel is holding, an agreement which, of course, has seen the fighting in Gaza paused, and that badly needed humanitarian aid reaching so many desperate people inside Gaza.
The U.S. also pushing for a longer truce. Its first flight with aid arrives today. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This year's gun deer hunt in Wisconsin is going down as one of the safest ever. Only 3 people were shot the entire 9 days. Warden Michael Weber credits safety education efforts and enforcement in the woods.
We're going to use the best data that we have to continue to reduce those incidents, prevent those incidents from occurring.
The harvest was lower than last year's by more than 17%. Experts say this year's season was a few days earlier than usual. There's more than $2 million in grant money in Wisconsin to help mental health services for veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for 3 grants. 16 Wisconsin nonprofits got about $650,000 in the last round. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. 6 warming centers are set to be open in Milwaukee, with other communities also opening up places where people can avoid the cold. The city-based program in Milwaukee has those 6 locations welcoming people this weekend. Right now, the Milwaukee Rescue Mission at 19th and Wells is open for those who are homeless and needing help. Temps will stay in the low 20s tonight, with a warm-up to the 40s tomorrow. Pleas for pledges and donations are coming from almost every charitable organization today. That includes the group raising money for the Waukesha Parade Memorial. A Main Street Memorial marker was unveiled last week, but work continues on a parade memorial at Greedy Park. The Giving Tuesday ask from Waukesha Parade Memorial officials says donations will help with the tile-based feature to be ready for next year's remembrances. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The Badgers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, Wisconsin with a win in Madison, 71-49 over Western Illinois. At 5-2, how's Wisconsin doing so far? Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we're getting there. I think we're a little more consistent, especially on the defensive end. I thought we were decent defensively tonight. It was the offensive rhythm that we just couldn't get a rhythm.
NFL, the Bears beat the Vikings without scoring a touchdown. Chicago winning 12-10. In Green Bay, the Packers getting ready to host the Chiefs. Jordan Love got his first start against them his rookie season when Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Green Bay lost 13-7. Matt LaFleur.
It was one of those deals where we came in, I think on Wednesday morning, we found out Aaron was going to be out and Jordan was going to be in. And we should have, instead of just riding with what we game planned, but we should have had a better plan in place for some of the potential issues that were going to come up.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 19.
Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 38. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Second hour, we're coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Well, development on the Republican side in the presidential race, which I think ultimately will have very, very little effect. Here's what it is. The remaining Koch brother, Charles Cook, K-O-C-H, he's a pain in the neck. He's done a lot of damage. He and his network just came out and they said they're endorsing Nikki Haley. It's a blow to DeSantis. Obviously, the Koch network, remaining Koch brother, have tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars, thousands of operatives around the country. At the same time, Mitt Romney just announced that he would not vote for Trump or Vivek Ramaswamy. Well, no kidding, Jack, no kidding. They immediately attacked Romney. Ramaswamy attacked his niece, Ronna McDaniel. Believe it or not, the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee, Ronna McDaniel, is a niece of Mitt Romney. And I see you on the lines. I'll get to you in a second. But, you know, Ramaswamy is a dangerous guy. He's not going anywhere, but he has this instinct to attack relatives, kind of like Trump. That is very foreign to us, to Americans, and I don't like it. Also, the thing about Ramaswamy is his foreign policy is indistinguishable from Narendra Modi's Hindu Nationalist Party's foreign policy. Ramaswamy loves Russia, hates Ukraine, said that Zelensky was a Nazi. This guy should not be running for president, but, you know, it's First Amendment. He can get it. He can run. But Romney pointed out the obvious not going to vote for him. So here's what they responded. Ramaswamy attacks Ronna McDaniel, his niece. Trump, who also attacks people's wives and kids, this time said, quote, voters aren't going to take advice from a loser and a quitter like Mittens. Mittens, M-I-T-T-E-N-S. That was a nickname for Mitt Romney that Maureen Dowd of the New York Times laid on him back when he ran a long, long time ago, 10 years ago or more. And she thought that was cute. It's a crazy nickname. I think it's a crazy nickname. But in any event, Trump thought that was funny. Voters are not going to take advice from a loser and a quitter like Mittens. So where do we go with this? Where do we stand with this? Nikki Haley is not going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. She simply is not. She's going to be accused of being a rhino, Koch the Koch brother, remaining Koch brother, is a rhino. Anybody who opposes Trump is a rhino. Romney's a rhino. It's inconceivable that there would be a convention where you would have the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, and the Ku Klux Klan all showing up and cheering for Nikki Haley. I mean, it's not going to happen. And you can say, well, that's not the Republican Party. And I agree, that's not the traditional Republican Party. But the voters in the Republican Party are heavily influenced by those groups. Tommy Tuberville said that he is a white supremacist, that a white supremacist is just an American, just a Trump supporter. Nikki Haley is running in the wrong party. Of course, Ramaswamy is going nowhere. DeSantis is fading. None of this, in my view, though, makes any difference. We have the best president, Joe Biden, that we've had in a generation. Joe Biden is exactly the right guy at the right time coming in to stand with Ukraine, stand with Israel, stand with Taiwan, very experienced in foreign policy, compassionate. He sent $100 million in aid to Gaza today, the right thing to do. But just establishing the alliances that really underlie Western civilization. Trump would not stand with Western civilization. That sounds strange. You may say, oh, well, Trump is for making America great again. America doesn't need to be made great again. America is great. It's been great ever since George Washington was president, 1788. What it needs is no authoritarians. It needs democracy. It needs just respect for our constitutional values. That's all it needs. And then if people adhere to those, they run for president, somebody wins, okay. Center right, center left, doesn't matter. But you are going to see, starting with the Iowa caucuses and the Iowa primary coming up, then South Carolina, then New Hampshire. This is all coming up in January, February, and March. March is Super Tuesday. The nominations will be determined by March, by early March. Actually, the day that Tanya Chutkan has set the trial, or one of his trials is set for the same day as Super Tuesday. So this is all coming up right after Christmas, January and February, and a few days in March. It's all starting to come together. Haley is getting an awful lot of good press in the Wall Street Journal, Republican newspapers. DeSantis is blowing it. He is day by day squandering a tremendous advantage that he had. And every, you know, Ramaswamy's a joke, and everybody else has dropped out. Pence, or they don't meet the requirements for the debate. Tim Scott, all these people. Unfortunately, it looks like it may be Trump as the nominee. Fortunately, it's going to be Joe Biden as our nominee. Joe Biden beat Trump once, and he's going to beat him again. And there's already really significant dissension in the Republican Party. Let me give you an example in Pennsylvania. They have a guy in Pennsylvania, Scott Perry, who's one of the worst. One of the leaders of election deniers, one of the leaders in subverting the government, overthrowing it, who even asked for a pardon and didn't get it. And this is in Pennsylvania. This isn't in the South. Now there's a coalition that's formed, Republicans and Democrats, to beat him. And the Republicans in the coalition say, we don't care if it's a Democrat who beats him. We will support anybody who runs against him, even a Democrat. That's very, very significant, because this guy is one of the ones that tanked Kevin McCarthy, tanked the next speaker that they put up, and he doesn't reflect Pennsylvania, and the chickens are coming home to roost. So that is happening right as we speak. That's happening right as we speak. go to the lines. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Dick, what's in your mind today?
Well, people that talk about Biden, you know, the situation in the Middle East. He has administered to it about as perfectly as I can imagine anyone. Now, if Trump would have been president, Ukraine would be gone by now, in my opinion. And this situation here would probably escalate into a world war because Iran would get involved. And he would let Netanyahu do whatever he wanted to do. I'm sure Biden has tremendous influence on how Netanyahu is reacting to this. And I don't see anybody else that would have done a better job with it. And I don't understand why he's not getting credit.
Yeah, that's a good insight. And I think you're right. And I put it to you this way. If Trump were president right now, if he had won in 2020, which he did not do, we'd be out of NATO by now. There'd be no more aid going to Ukraine. Britain, UK would give them some aid, maybe France a little bit. The Russians would overrun Ukraine. And as they put it, they would beat the Ukrainian out of these people. The Russians are very, very cruel. There was a news item today just before on the air. The wife and several other people close to the head of Ukrainian intelligence have been poisoned. You know, poison is something that Putin does. Remember, he did it with Navalny. He did it with a lot of people. And you can't watch what you eat, where you eat it all the time. There are Russian agents that go around poisoning folks. They poisoned a guy in Great Britain, poisoned his daughter, poisoned Navalny. They're poisoners. They are poisoners. And if Trump had been president, they would have Ukraine right now. They would have Ukraine right now. And Israel, I have no idea what he'd do. I don't know that he would stick up for Israel the way you say. Maybe he would have. Maybe he would not. Maybe he would not. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul? And everybody else on the line, hold on, because after Wisco Paul, if we have to go to a break, I will get back to you. Do not hang up. Wisco Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. I want to make a quick point, and then I'll move on to what I wanted to say. Today, I took a friend down to the vet hospital, and we made a point to drive by Camp Randall, the Kohl Center, and then I turned down so we go by the engineering department, the vets. You have the nurses schooling down there and the ag school and all this stuff, and I just get beside myself thinking the Republicans turned down building the engineering department. Why wouldn't you want to build on that great institution? It just totally amazes me, and it ticks me off. But there again, I live in the area. But I want to come to a point. I think Biden has done a great, great job. He doesn't get enough credit for it. But I really feel that Trump is not going to get the nomination, Matt. I think it's going to be Haley. The Republican money is drying up, and the money people are starting to look at Trump and say, hey, man, we can't support this wackadoo crazy guy, because that's basically what he is.
Good call. I'm going to respond real quickly now. Those of you on the line, do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after we get back. But on number one, on the engineering school, that ticks me off more than you know. Hundreds of millions have been pledged privately, and they did it as retaliation. And number two, we'll wait and see. Okay, coming up, Judge Chutkan marvelously denied a Trump motion, which you will not believe.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and even diamonds. That's right. Robert Hack Diamonds wants to make you an offer on your gold, silver, and diamonds. The process is very simple. No appointment needed. Just come on in, sit down in a nice, relaxed atmosphere, and the staff of Robert Hack Diamonds will evaluate your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds and make you an offer on the spot. Then you can decide if you want a deal or no deal. Robert Hack Diamonds can also convert your old jewelry in into something new or trade in your outdated pieces for something new and exciting. Many people inherit jewelry that might not be your taste, but you are sentimental. Why not have Robert Hack Diamonds take the golden gems and create something for you? So many options at Robert Hack Diamonds. Again, Robert Hack Diamonds pays cash for your unwanted gold, silver, and diamonds. See them in Brookfield just east of Moreland on Greenland Avenue or 76 in Layton, right on the corner in Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
The Shaw, W-A-U-K. K.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Great show as always. I'm interested in talking about two points. First off, I did want to respond to what you and Whisker Paul were saying about the Republicans refusing to pony up for this engineering school, especially when you consider that half of the funds have already been supplied by private donors who reach deep into their pocket to give a commitment to Wisconsin and what our future might be in terms of education and engineering. Whisker Paul said, he said, I live in the area, so kind of saying as if he lived in the area, you'd just be more invested in it. I'm telling you, you know, Whisker Paul, it's not even just people who live here. It's, you know, you see it when you live here, but man, it is important for the whole state that this thing would go through. And it's important because it's also this commitment to, what kind of commitment do we have to education in this state? And I tell you, I live in Madison, but I feel that all of the campuses around the state, at Eau Claire, Oshkosh, Stout, they all are critical for who we are and what we represent as a state and why people should come here and look for jobs in this state. Education has always been our heartbeat, our soul, and to have it be ignored by this legislature is appalling. So I did want to throw that into the mix. The second thing I wanted to say is that I'm fascinated that you're looking at the situation of Nikki Haley and the fact that the Koch money is looking at writing a check for her. And, of course, we know that the Koch money through the Americans for Prosperity is hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. They can keep that checkbook going. And I wonder, Matt, and I'm just so interested to hear your reaction about this, because I know you look at things as a lawyer, but you also have looked at things as the head of the Democratic Party. So you look at this and you see this major donor tiptoeing, well, not tiptoeing, charging onto the scene for this particular candidate and being very clear that they've been saving money for years, their spokesperson said, to kind of, and this is the first time ever that they've apparently focused on just one person rather than the Republican Party and its candidates as a whole. So I'm really curious to talk with you more about this, because if I'm looking at this as a politician or somebody who's very interested in politics, it seems like it's a wave coming in from the side. And I appreciate the fact that Trump has his hardcore supporters, but you yourself talked about the fact that he had that South Carolina rally and the response was tepid. You know, he didn't have hordes of people coming out. There were some that clapped, but boy, it was not what he used to have, and he's not what he used to be. And he's got the baggage of this, the court cases and the what's ahead with him with that, and his record as he runs. I can see where the party would be, God, how do we turn a page? And you can turn a page if you got hundreds of millions of dollars in your back pocket. So I know you talked about this already, Matt, but just given what I had to say, I'm curious if you had any other reactions to this, because I so value your opinion as somebody who's been in politics for a long, long time. Thanks for taking a moment to respond to my observation. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Excellent as always. And I'm going to say two things. One, on the engineering school, what the Republican Party is doing by starving it of money is to deliberately diminish one of the greatest university systems in the world. UW-Madison at one time was ranked number 34 in the world. That includes every American university, everyone, every French, British, German, Italian, Spanish, Chinese, Russian, everyone. The most prestigious universities in the world. Madison held its own. I think it still does. I'm a graduate of the law school and got a superb education there. But at some point, by starving it financially, you start to diminish a university system. And UWM, for instance, is starved of funds, and a lot of the other universities around the state are starved of funds. And there's no reason for it except plain ignorance and revenge. I mean, there is no constructive reason for it. No constructive reason for it, except they don't like DEI, they don't like this, they don't like that, or they think, like Scott Walker, that Madison should have been a trade school and just train people for jobs. What they don't understand is if you have a highly educated citizenry in a great university system, that we punch above our weight. We're an average size of average wealth, and yet we have one of the best. The UW-Madison, Michigan, and Berkeley are referred to as the public Ivies. I mean, we punch above our weight, and they are deliberately sticking a knife into it, and they're deliberately misstating what DEI is. It's not what you read in some of the coastal universities at all, and that interference has to stop. With regard to Nikki Haley, let me tell you my fear. You're absolutely right that if the Koch brothers get behind her, and a couple of other donors are too, by the way, a couple of the hedge fund people who have many billions of dollars and haven't been as active as Koch, but they're putting money in too. But consider the timing in the Republican Party. The caucuses and the primaries are January, February, for all intents and purposes, over by the first week in March. It's over by the first week in March. If this had occurred a year and a half ago, maybe a different story. Number two, Trump has managed to seize control of state organizations who decide who the delegates are. And if he wins, Nikki Haley or DeSantis or the rest may get very, very, very few delegates. Number three, and this is a hard thing to say, but the Republican Party in some respects has become a racial party. I don't say racist. I don't use that term lightly. The vast majority of Americans are not racist, and the vast majority of Republicans are not, and neither are Democrats. But among the urges by some of the leadership, by some of the people in the Freedom Caucus, by some of the, like Trump, it has that patina. It has that kind of resonance. And I simply can't see delegates at a Republican convention in Milwaukee next July getting up and cheering for Nikki Haley for the wrong reasons. Actually, if you had to have a nominee, I'd rather it be Nikki Haley against Joe Biden. I would be fighting for Joe Biden tooth and nail, but I would rest a lot easier if Nikki Haley were the president than Donald Trump. But that said, I'm a realist, and unfortunately, I have a lot of realist scars in my hide over 40 years, and that is my general impression, but I hope I'm wrong. I don't know if I am or not. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, continuing with what you were saying about the UW system, I think there's several things involved here. First thing I'd say is that the Republican Party has always been attempting to stomp on public education, push it down, make it as inconsequential as possible, and then make it so that it has the inability to really do a decent educational job. And they've done that for decades by cutting and cutting and cutting money. And this is a long time ago, but when I went to UW Madison, or in UW Oshkosh, I should say, The tuition there was, I think, $328 a year, or something like that. And when my son went to UW Eau Claire, it was closer to $10,000.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Jack, thanks a lot for calling. And I'm going to comment on that more. And I'll tell you what, coming up, we're going to talk about Tanya Chutkan and her great decision.
Better all the time.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's more than $2 million in grant money in Wisconsin to help mental health services for veterans. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is accepting applications for three grants. They'll go to funding emergency treatment programs as well as different kinds of therapies. Money is also available for centers with family and marriage counseling and social workers. 16 Wisconsin nonprofits got about $650,000 in the last round of grants. Former Wisconsin Attorney General Brad Schimmel plans to run for state Supreme Court in 2025. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley's term is coming up, and she said she plans to run again. Just like earlier this year, the 2025 race is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Milwaukee public health officials are expressing apprehension over a rise in COVID-19 instances post-Thanksgiving. A health official says there's been a 20% uptick in both positive cases and hospitalizations. Although the figures aren't as elevated as the peaks witnessed during the initial virus wave, officials say the ongoing presence of COVID-19 is a lingering threat. On this Giving Tuesday, state agencies are warning against scams. Some tips to follow when giving money are to verify that the organization you're donating to is legitimate by checking its website or social media for spelling or other errors, and to avoid making a payment over the phone if you're called. If you do donate, officials say to never use cash, a payment app, or crypto, as those ways of paying are nearly impossible to reverse if you find out you're a victim of fraud. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
The Badgers with a win at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In college hoops, Wisconsin with a win in Madison, 71-49 over Western Illinois at 5-2. How's Wisconsin doing so far? Head coach Greg Gard.
I think we're getting there. I think we're a little more consistent, especially on the defensive end. I thought we were decent defensively tonight. It was the offensive rhythm that we just couldn't get a rhythm.
NFL, the Bears beat the Vikings without scoring a touchdown. Chicago winning 12-10. In Green Bay, the Packers getting ready to host the Chiefs. Jordan Love got his first start against them his rookie season when Aaron Rodgers tested positive for COVID. Green Bay lost 13-7. Matt LaFleur.
It was one of those deals where we came in, I think on Wednesday morning, we found out Aaron was going to be out and Jordan was going to be in. And we should have, instead of just riding with what we game planned, but we should have had a better plan in place for some of the potential issues that were going to come up.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy tonight with lows around 19. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Highs around 38. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 27. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK. UK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Jean, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt. Thank you so much for the great show and all the hard work that you do. And I just was calling because I thought that was very interesting, you know, what Joe had to say about, you know, a side wave. And I see that coming, too, because these wealthy people that are investing or running our government and putting people in all the areas, they see the writing on the wall with Trump. Now, they know probably Nikki Haley ain't going to make it, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a new face like they did with Scotty Walker, which we didn't know, with Ron Johnson, who we didn't know in our state. You know, these types of people showing up. And then, too, is with that no labels business with all those a lot of money going into that kind of a party, the no label party, which is really, you know, like a joke in and of itself, you know, like middle of the road. Nobody's middle of the road. People have sights on all kinds of things, even if they are not a member of a party. So we got to be vigilant on this one, Matt, because this is kind of scary. And the evangelicals are now coming out against Trump. So there you go. We got to pay attention. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, thank you, Jean. Excellent comment, as always. And picking up on what Joe had said as well, here's my view. I'm a Biden guy. I'm riding with Biden back in 2019, when he was starting out. Everybody's for Bernie or Elizabeth Warren. And I formed the debate watch parties for Joe. And, you know, I was like the Lone Ranger. And then, of course, now he's president and I'm delighted to do it. So you just raised a very, very important question about these third parties. There's no labels. They're trying to recruit Joe Manchin. And the problem with that is Joe Manchin is a Democrat. He's a conservative Democrat, but he's a Democrat. And he would get some votes. Robert Kennedy Jr. is frankly a nut. And there's nobody who is a stronger Kennedy family supporter than me. I was Ted Kennedy's Milwaukee County chairman when he ran for president in 1980. And, you know, Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy, I mean, they're examples. I was a teenager. It got me interested in politics. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is not like his father or his uncle. He really is not. And the one thing that salted it for me, and you may think, oh, it's an issue. No, it's not an issue. When Sirhan Sirhan was up for parole again, Bobby Kennedy argued in his favor that he should be paroled. He killed his father, for Pete's sake. He killed his father. This guy, I don't think, has loyalty, and he's not at all like the rest of the Kennedy family, but he's going to get votes. Right now, he's in the low 20s. He's at 21 or 2%. Cornel West, a professor who's kind of a provocateur and a pain in the neck. He'll get a few votes. There's no question about that. Jill Stein will get votes. Jill Stein got 30,000 votes in 2016 against Hillary Clinton, and Hillary lost by 27,000. So, Hillary lost Michigan by 10,000, and Jill Stein got many multiples of that. So Joe Biden is going to go into an election, I think, against Donald Trump. I think that Nikki Haley is the most, not only the most experienced, but most able and most presidential of the Republicans. I'm just saying that I don't see the Tommy Tubervilles and the Oath Keepers and the 3%ers supporting her. Trump will call her a rhino, and there'll be subvert kind of racial things about her. And it's a party that has fallen apart. This party cannot continue to survive the way it is. So let's say it's Trump against Biden and against Robert Kennedy Jr., Joe Manchin, and Cornel West and Jill Stein. Now think about that. Do those people collectively take more votes away from Joe Biden or Donald Trump? Some of them will take votes away from Donald Trump. And it's very, very early in the game. But that Joe Biden will be going into a battle against five adversaries. And with all of the responsibility of the presidency, what tends to happen, I mean, let's be blunt about it. What tends to happen is anything that bad goes on, people don't want it. They wish it to go away. They wish Ukraine Russia go away. They wish, you know, Hamas would go away. They wish inflation to go away. But by the way, there's one guy who's in charge, so to speak, even though there's limited things that he can do. And so we'll go for somebody else. Now, the problem for Trump is he's already been in charge for 4 years. He did a bad job. That's why he lost. And he's a criminal. He's a traitor. He's on the take from Putin. All of this. But Biden is the guy in the hot seat right now. Now, I agree with you. I mean, I agree with Gene and Joe and Wisco Paul and everybody's called in that when this thing settles down and it's a clear choice, people are going to be appalled at Donald Trump more than they are now. I'm just saying that the people who are the big donors in the Republican Party are beginning to see that they could lose with Trump, even with all of the impediments I just described. They could lose with him, whereas Nikki Haley is a fresh face. But I think they are misconceiving the depth of prejudice and nativism and the depth of Trumpian sentiment in the Republican Party. That's all I'm saying, and not to countenance it. I don't like it. I wish he were the nominee against Joe. I would fight hard for Joe. He'd win, but if he didn't win, at least I don't think she'd blow up the country. But, you know, why do we have to speak in these terms? That's a low bar. What, I'm begging for one person who wouldn't blow up the country on the Republican Party? Aren't we entitled to that? You think we're entitled to it? I think we're entitled to it. But thanks for calling, Gene. As always, great call. Tanya Chutkin, I'll tell you what, do you realize that the four strongest patriots standing up to Trump right now are Tanya Chutkin, Jack Smith, Letitia James, and Fannie Willis? These people have guts. They have guts. Tanya Chutkin just denied a Trump motion. What do you think it was? Trump, and this is very sly, Trump says, I want all of the documents from the January 6th committee, including the video depositions of all the witnesses. Jack Smith said, fine, we've already given him the documents from the January 6th commission and the transcripts of all the depositions. He has all the information. The reason he wants the video is that he can alter the video and then play it as ads. So no, we don't want him to have it. Tanya Chutkin said, Mr. Trump, you've already been given all that information. You have been given the transcripts. Every word written down by an independent court reporter with no axe to grind. But no, I'm not going to give you the video because the video doesn't give you any more information than the transcript. But the video can be altered and then it can be shown on social media as a commercial in a misleading fashion. You're not asking for this in good faith. I'm turning it down. You're not going to get it. What many people don't understand is if you give someone in discovery a transcript and they take something out of context or they lie and change the word, which Trump would do, it's very, very easy to just broadcast that out and say, no, here's a Photoshop of the page of the transcript that he altered or that he took out of context. But if you put someone's demeanor in a video with an altered video, sure, you can try to do the same thing, but videos have a far more power on people and on their judgment than just the transcripts. And she's very, very tough. She stood right up to him, and she's holding the date. And, you know, the thing about Tanya Chutkin, and unlike, although somewhat similar to Erdogan of New York, is if you gin up attacks on a clerk, on a witness, on a prosecutor, on a grand jury member, to say nothing of the court, judges have a lot of power. The judge can impose a gag order or not, but the judge is going to have a deep-seated conviction that you're a crook and a thief. And there are many, many ways that judge can hold the line. For instance, there's a March trial date with Tanya Chutkin. She does not have to postpone that, no matter what. and it looks like she won't postpone it. Whereas you take somebody like Elise Cannon, Mercedes Cannon, down in Mar-a-Lago, who is essentially a Trump lawyer, even though she's the judge, she looks like she is going to delay it beyond the election. She's already, every time there's a routine filing, she sits on it for a couple of weeks. She sits on it for a couple of weeks. Then occasionally say, well, I don't want to postpone it, but maybe I will. You can bet money. You can go to Las Vegas and bet money that she will delay Trump. She will delay Trump beyond the election. She may carve out some other people, now or not, but I don't think so. I think she's going to delay everybody. Tanya Chutkan is an honest judge. She's not in it for revenge. She's bent over backwards. She's voluntarily stayed gag orders. And for her troubles, she gets a woman threatening to kill her coming to Washington, and now a defendant in a criminal case for threatening to kill a judge. You have no idea how dangerous that charge is against someone. You're going to go to jail for a long time for doing that, and you should. And Trump is the one who ginned her up. Trump is the one who incited the woman to do that, to go after Tanya Chutkan. And I've said this before, but it continues to amaze me. Trump is a walking crime scene. He walks into a room and people die in his presence. By that, I mean, figuratively speaking, they go to jail, they get convicted, they plea bargain. It destroys their lives. A lot of them. And these are people who are not people who are unsophisticated. Rudy Giuliani was mayor of New York. He was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. When he ran 10, 12 years ago for president, for 1 week, he was ahead in the polls. How does he subject himself, demean himself, show servility to Donald Trump? How is that possible? You have Eastman. You have Chesbro. You have people who have deliberately diminished themselves. We go to the lines. Tom at McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tom, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, just to build on what you were talking about as far as Judge Chutkan, the prosecutors, they have to provide evidence, you know, as part of that discovery process. Whatever, you know, there's a standard that has to be met. And right. Jack Smith met that standard. In fact, Trump is not even arguing that they did not receive the evidence in question. What they're arguing is they don't like the format that was given to them, and they feel that there should be an exception to that, that because they don't like the format that Jack Smith gave them, that they should have this exception and get the type of information that they want. And the judge correctly noted that there's nothing within any of the judicial process that allows for such an exception. Unless you can demonstrate how having this video is germane to your defense, motion denied. And the attorney, Trump attorneys admitted, yes, there's nothing that's germane to the defense. So I know that they're on the right wing, especially on Fox News, they are just clamoring all over themselves about how, you know, Jack Smith is now withholding evidence. And I'm sure that they're going to use that in multiple ads. But no, I think Tanya Chutkan is right on that money. She is a savvy judge. And if I were Trump, I'd have every reason in the world to be nervous about what's coming down the road.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And what Tom's referring to is a case, I think, is Brady v. Maryland, that the prosecutors have to turn over even exculpatory evidence to the defense. And most prosecutors just turn over their files. And Jack Smith did that. He turned over everything. Trump just wants video that he can alter in a misleading fashion. And if he tries to do it with the transcripts, it's much more easily combated. That's what's going on. Coming up, fascinating thing in the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the redistricting case. Very, very cleverly and intelligently, they have confined an issue, and I'll describe it, that comports with the Wisconsin Constitution, but still gives them the chance to unrig the maps. Blood in the streets, the town of Chicago.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Well, I won't back down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I have a great deal of respect for the Wisconsin Supreme Court now that Janet Protasiewicz is on it and the other justices. And I'll tell you something. As I've looked at this redistricting case that was argued last week, I have gotten a lot more respect for how they framed the issue to avoid any appearance of partisanship, but at the same time are going to be able to do the job. And here's what I mean. The Wisconsin Constitution says with regard to legislative districts, quote, now this is in the Constitution. You can't overturn this by legislation. This is the law. This is the law. Wisconsin Constitution says, quote, legislative districts should be bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines to consist of contiguous territory and be in as compact form as practicable. Now, contiguous means touching. Touching. It has to be contiguous. You can't say, okay, I'm going to take a ward in Chippewa Falls, a ward in Milwaukee, a ward in Madison, and a ward in Ladysmith and make that an assembly district. You can't do that under the Wisconsin Constitution. But at present, that is exactly, and that's an exaggerated description of it, but exactly what's happened. There are many of the districts in the state legislature, including the Assembly and the Senate, that are not contiguous. They take a chunk. They're islands. They are called municipal islands. And they take a chunk and they say, all right, now in the old days, and it may be a little more because the population of the state has increased, but roughly an assembly district was 60,000 people, and a state senate district was 180,000, and a congressional district is 700,000. This is all proportionate, and as the state population goes up, those numbers will increase because there will always be 99 assembly districts and 33 state senate districts. So whatever it is, but to get to the 60,000 or the 180, what they've done right now is have municipal islands. So for instance, in Madison, you may have a guy who represents Fitchburg, but then to get him up to the number of people he needs, they just grab a municipality that doesn't touch Fitchburg, is away from Fitchburg. And they say, okay, that's part of your district. That is squarely forbidden in the Wisconsin Constitution. And what the Republican Supreme Court, remember when they had the three election deniers on it 2 years ago in 2022, what they did was they said, for purposes of our discussion, municipal islands are contiguous. Well, wait a minute, hold the phone. What, you're rewriting the dictionary, the Webster dictionary? Are you kidding me? Contiguous means touching. You're saying as long as the Republican legislature did it, we will deem them, D-E-E-M, deem them to be contiguous. Well, no. you don't deem me to be a murderer. If you want to charge me with murder, go ahead. We'll go to a trial. You can't deem me to be anything. There has to be a constitutional basis for it. So all this, you know, and you know what the Supreme Court did is one of the issues that they were asked to opine on is whether partisan gerrymandering is wrong. And they sidestepped. They said, we're not going to take review of that. They don't have to. All they have to do when you have districts like this that are not contiguous is set it up, administered by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, what we call referees or special masters, there's a lot of names for them, usually say a statistician, political scientist from one of our universities, from Madison, UWM, Marquette, one of the universities around the state, great ones, Eau Claire, La Crosse, Stevens Point, Whitewater, bring them in. Green Bay, Oshkosh, bring them in and say, look, we want 99 contiguous assembly districts. And we want 33 contiguous state Senate districts. And right now, this is just the state legislature, but it could also be for Congress. We want 8 contiguous districts. As far as I know, the congressional districts may all be contiguous, so that might not work in this case. Now, that would mean that the maps would have to be thrown out. And in the process, remember, it also says contiguous and bounded by county, precinct, town, or ward lines. Well, I'll tell you what. Sheboygan County and Greene County are cut up 7 ways from Sunday. And they would take a look. And does any of this stuff go over a town, precinct, county, or ward line? I suspect it does. So I want to bring that to everybody's attention. It's a terrific, terrific thing the Supreme Court did. They could have said, well, we will look at partisan gerrymandering, whether that's good or bad. And that's a quagmire because the U.S. Supreme Court has already said it's not going to get into deciding that. How do you decide it? And then people would say, well, now that there are 4 people who are seen as Democrats, even though I don't think that's the case, they're sort of independent. They're just trying to take care of their own crowd. That's not what they're doing. That is the genius of what they did. They said, we're not going to decide partisan gerrymandering. We are going to follow the Constitution, which the Supreme Court didn't do 4 years ago. No, I should say a year ago, 2022. We're going to make sure that they're bounded by county, precinct, town, and ward lines, and that they are contiguous, period. And bingo, they will redo the maps. And that is why Rebecca Bradley, not the good Bradley, not Ann Walsh Bradley, who's running for re-election, we've got to support her, but Rebecca Bradley said the legitimacy of the court is in question. What does she mean? She means her legitimacy is in question. In other words, the legitimacy of the court that said contiguous didn't mean contiguous in 2022 is in question. And that's right. It is. That court, by saying that, surrendered any kind of idea that we should give respect to that decision. It's a crazy decision. You don't flat out come out and say contiguous doesn't mean contiguous. It's like mean 2 doesn't equal 2. This is wrong. Very, very dead wrong. Coming up, a lot of news and weather and another great show. Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crew. Matt Flynn, Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. And I am signing off for today.
Baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS